Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
It's time for Barbecue Nation with JT. So fire up your grill, light the charcoal, and get your smoker cooking. Now, from the Turn It, Don't Burn It studios in Portland, here's JT.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Nation. This is the Barbecue Nation. I'm JT along with Camaro Dave and Commander Chris coming to you from the Turn It, Don't Burn It studios in Portland, Oregon. Got a great show today. We've got the champ from Getting Basted. He was reserve champion overall at the World. I mean at the Invitational at the Royal there. Brad, now I'm going to ask you something. I normally don't do this, but how do I pronounce your last name properly? Leininger?
Yeah, Leininger.
Leininger. Okay. So we've got Brad Leininger with us from Getting Basted there in Missouri. Moody Blues going to throw some music at us today. And also we'd like to thank Painted Hills Natural Beef. Beef you can be proud to serve your family and friends. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef. Brad, welcome, man.
Hey, thanks for having me.
No worries. So is this your biggest win?
Oh, biggest win. I didn't win, so my biggest loss, maybe. And I got, I've got a great distinction of almost in my career. I've got a 703 at the Sam's Club National Finals back, I believe that was in 2014 for a reserve grand championship. I've got a 703 at the Jack Daniels. I believe I got fourth at that one back in 2017. And then, of course, I've got this 2019 American Royal 703 for another reserve grand champion. So I've got several good losses on my resume, as it were.
Well, I'll tell you, if you see a lottery ticket and it's the amount of the jackpot is 703, I'd be buying a couple tickets there, buddy.
I would. I've got that score on lockdown, that's for sure.
So how did you, let's kind of do a little historical perspective here. How did you get started, Brad, in competition barbecue?
I'm down in the Ozarks of Missouri, down in the hillbilly land, so to speak. So cooking outdoors and cooking over fire is kind of part of our heritage. So I've always cooked that way and always done barbecue and done it with the family. And Pitmasters came on back in the, early 2000 and teens, whenever that was, 8, 9, 10 years ago. And I used to watch that and love competing and I played football when I was in college, so I'm a competitor and we always kicked it around, doing a barbecue competition. And one week, a friend of mine had signed up for a local contest here in Springfield and he had to back out, and about a week and a half notice, he asked me if I wanted to take a spot and we said, what the heck, so I had to borrow a smoker, went to the contest. It was the first full pack of brisket I'd ever cooked. And we ended up getting 3 meat calls. We won a trip to Las Vegas for a potato salad with the World Food Championships. And we finished, I think, 6th or 7th overall. And the rest is history, as I say.
Well, that's a pretty good story. That's actually kind of how I got into radio. Guy got sick one night, my next door neighbor, and asked me if I'd take over his show, which I knew nothing about. But here I am 35 years later. So.
That's crazy how the world works, isn't it?
It is. Now you're also part of Getting Basted, that is a retail outlet, isn't it? I mean, as you a restaurant and serve food and all that stuff.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we started out as a competition team, and that was in 2000. Our first competition was in 2012. And we opened our first restaurant in 2017. So, we competed only for 5 years, and we've got 2 restaurants running now. We're getting ready to open a third at the beginning of the year down here in the Springfield area. So, we've come a long way from competition barbecue. Competition barbecue's, blessed me and blessed my family. And now, that's pretty much what I do for a living. I've got the restaurants. I go around and I compete and preach the love of barbecue.
Now, I got to tell you off the record, but everybody's going to hear it anyway. Whoever answered the phone today at the restaurant when I was calling to verify your phone number said you're never there anyway, so why did I want to talk to you? So
that's the fact. I'm always out competing. Yeah, let them do all the work. That's it. That stuff's for suckers. I go in there early in the week, you know, but I really do. I've got good people there, and I'm fortunate to have good business partners and good operations managers that run that, so I can still go off and do what I love to do, which is compete on the weekends.
How many competitions do you do every year?
Well, I've slowed down considerably this year. The kids are getting a little bit older, but I'm still going to hit about 30 this year. I did 50 last year, so just to give you an idea. So I'm usually in that 30-40 range is what I like to do. So quite a few.
That's a significant amount of time to be away from home. I used to travel for a living and do events, and not barbecue, but another sport. And I was around 30-35 a year, and that was enough as far as I was concerned. You know, I like to be home a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice. The good thing is my wife teaches school. My kids are, you know, my oldest is 11. And I've got a five-year-old as my youngest. And during the summer, that's what we do, right? So we drive around and we go to competitions. So during the summer, my family's with me, which makes it a lot easier. And then obviously in the spring and the fall when they're all in school, I do a lot more events on my own. But I do get a good solid 2 or 3 months with everybody along. And they all cook. You know, my kids have been on probably more TV shows than I have been on just because of this barbecue ride. So you know, it's been good to my whole family.
Well, that's great. That's great. What is your favorite to cook, Brad? I mean, is it brisket? Is it chicken? Is it ribs? Is it the pulled pork? I mean, in the competition, what do you like to do best?
Well, it kind of moves. I mean, you know, brisket and ribs are my two favorite, you know, which one just kind of depends on how I'm doing. I think those two take the most skill. Mm-hmm. To cook, and there's the most, you know, we cook on barrels, we cook on Gateway drum smokers, so our cooking style is very active, and your kind of lead in was you know, turn not burn. Well, that's our saying, we burn and turn, right? That's what we're doing. So we're actively cooking, we're cooking hot and fast, we're getting everything done in a hurry. So brisket and ribs take the most finesse when you're cooking on that style. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to keep them moving. They're the easiest to mess up, and therefore that's why I like them the most. And to be honest with you, that's where you get paid a lot, you know, is on brisket. That's kind of what separates the men from the boys. A lot of people can cook chicken, you know, cooking pulled pork, you know, it's pretty simple. But where a lot of paychecks are earned is in that brisket category, that last one. You know, I call it the hammer.
So how many did you screw up before you got it right, or you got comfortable with it?
We screw up plenty. I mean, you know, you learn every week. I still screw one up every now and then. You know, thank goodness. You know, obviously a brisket's an expensive endeavor to screw up, but anymore, it used to be a cheap cut of meat. Now, because of the popularity of barbecue and because of Wagyu and some other stuff, they get to be a little bit expensive. But I have screwed up more briskets probably than just about anybody on this planet.
Well, maybe that's another one of your 703 marks right there. I don't know. You know, it's a good luck charm, so to speak.
Yeah, I got fourth in brisket there at the Royal, so I couldn't have made up. I almost got had a perfect score, so I couldn't have got the 2 points I needed there. But, you know, pork kind of let me down at the Royal a little bit. Not bad, you know, but that's where I left the points on the table. And you know, we've had a very fortunate run in pork. I was pork team of the year the last 2 years. Won the Jack Daniels and pork, and I just didn't have it that Saturday for whatever reason. I'd love to go back and get those 2 points. That'd be nice, but it's hard to complain about a reserve grand championship for sure.
Yeah, well, you ended up 20th in chicken and 18th in ribs, so you know, that's still not too shabby. I don't know how many teams they had in the Invitational, but 300, I think. 300-400 this year?
Yeah, I'm not sure how many they had, to be honest with you. I didn't look. I don't know if it was that many or not. But, you know, it's everybody that's won a contest in multiple sanctioning bodies are invited to the American Royal Invitational. So it's really is the champion of champions, so to speak, is crowned at that event. So, you know, it's obviously a very prestigious one to win. And you know, getting second place, nobody will remember that except for me. But I'll cherish it forever for sure.
Oh, absolutely. We're going to take a break here in just a few seconds, but I want you to think about something. I want to talk in the next segment. I want to talk about your process, because that's what people are always interested in. And we're going to be talking about also how your process has evolved over the last few years, because sometimes I get some really radical answers out of people on that. And other times it's like, no, I don't know. Just kind of did, you know, like that. So we're going to do that. We're going to be back here on Barbecue Nation with Brad Leininger. Leininger, did I say it that right that time?
Yep, Leininger, you got
Leininger.
It.
Okay. We're from getting basted, reserve world champ at the Royal in the Invitational, and we're going to be back and talk to Brad in just a few minutes. And don't go away. You're listening to Barbecue Nation on the Envision Radio Network. Hey everybody, it's JT, and this is a special version of Barbecue Nation. It is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. Beef you can be proud to serve your family and friends. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef. Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation here on the Envision Radio Networks. I'm JT, and we're talking with Brad Leininger from Getting Basted in Missouri there. Before we get back and talk to Brad a little bit, we want to give you a couple of little bits of information. If you'd like to email us, it's bbq@salempdx.com. That's bbq@salempdx.com. Or you can go and look on the SoundCloud and look up Barbecue Nation JT there. You have to spell out barbecue that time. And you'll find all of our archive of previous shows, and we're doing fairly well there. Facebook is Barbecue Nation with JT. Twitter is CowCook57. And finally, welcome back to a couple of affiliates, KLBM in LeGrand and KBKR in Baker City, and also WGCO in Chicago. Well, thank you all for listening and having us spend part of your Saturday in your ear, so to speak. Okay, now we're talking to Brad from Getting Basted. As we did the lead into this, we talked about your process. You know, a lot of people I talk to, Brad, when they're talking about their process, it's, well, you know, I started in the backyard with a Weber kettle and blah, blah, blah. There's kind of a couple of very basic standard versions. And then some people that did it rather rapidly, like you kind of have, and really got down to the nuts and bolts of it. So why don't you kind of tell us about your process, especially with brisket and like ribs.
You know, I'm fortunate enough that I didn't know anything. You know, I mean, I always cooked, and I know how to make things taste good. I know how to make things tender. I know how to make flavors, but I was never really in the barbecue world and didn't have it myself put in a box of low and slow. And this is the one way to do it. I think that's really benefited me in that the way I cook, you know, cook on 55-gallon barrels. We cook over direct heat. We're cooking hot and fast. You know, we're getting briskets done in 4 to 5 hours, you know, not the 14 hours. You know, and I've been one to experiment with my processes, and there's not really a playbook. You know, cooking on a big offset or cooking on a Weber Smoky Mountain or something like that, the playbook's pretty much been written. You know, I'm lucky enough that on the barrel drum smokers, you know, there's just a few guys out there leading the vanguard, and I'm one of them that are kind of leading the way and learning the processes. So we're constantly learning, constantly tweaking our processes. But, you know, really what we do is we use a nice, clean, you know, lump charcoal in our barrels. We're using just a little bit of wood. You know, wood's an ingredient. You probably heard that before. You don't want to oversmoke something, but just 3 or 4 chunks of wood on that. And we're going directly over the coals with our brisket, you know, and we're turning that thing. We're playing with our food. We're moving it around. And unlike other smokers, a barrel smoker, when you open it up, it actually gets hotter. It doesn't lose heat. So you can get in there. You can check it. You can move it. You can flip it. And what we're looking for, and we always call it the sizzle, you know, we're looking for that meat to start dancing and that fat to start popping on there before we wrap it up, you know, competition style. So, you know, that's pretty much our process for every meat. It doesn't really matter what temperature you're.
You there? Hello?
Lose me?
Yeah.
Did you lose me?
Yeah, I lost you. Go ahead and pick it up from, doesn't really matter.
Okay, sorry about that. I don't know what's going on.
That's
it
okay.
Doesn't really matter what you're cooking on. The process is the same. You want to go ahead and you want to color the thing up, get some sizzle on it, get it looking good, and then wrap it up, and you're pretty well braising it until it's tender. And that's how Competition Q is done. And that's our process.
How long do you, I mean, basically, what are you talking, a 2-3 hour wrap there or what?
Yes. So, you know, for brisket, for instance, and each piece of meat is different. For brisket, for instance, I'm usually about 2.5 to 3 hours out in the smoke, you know, over the direct heat.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're wrapped up for about another 2 hours.
Okay.
So a total of 4.5 to 5 hour cook time.
That's pretty quick. I mean, I've done it that way actually on a pellet smoker and stuff, and it's worked out fine, but I don't compete, but, you know, it's, you've got some people that are traditionalists and they're like, no, it's gotta be 13, 14 hours, 15 hours like that. And I can understand that, but my days are too short. I gotta keep moving, you know?
Well, my philosophy is that, you know, you're trying to accomplish something with a piece of meat, and a smoker is a harsh environment, right? They make no mistake. I mean, you've got a lot of fire blowing through there. You've got air, you've got dry heat, and it's not good on a piece of meat. So the quicker that you can get it inside of that environment, get your meat flavored up, and then get it into a more moist, you know, more braising type environment, the better off your meat's going to be. The you know, you're not going to dry it out. You know, that's the thing a lot of times about that 14, 15 hour cooking method. You know, you got to have a lot of fat in that piece of meat for it to survive something like that. You know, a lot of connective tissue, and cooking hot and fast really, you know, handles some of that problem for you.
Yeah, it does. It really does. Are you wrapping it in tin foil? You're wrapping it in butcher paper, then tin foil, or just butcher paper, or what are you doing?
For competition, just foil. I mean, of course, you know, I like playing around with barbecue, and I've wrapped in about everything you can imagine. But competition, I think foil is the best thing. You know, we use those juices a lot in foil, the braising liquid or the au jus, so to speak, you know, making our finishing sauces and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So those to me are invaluable. You know, you lose a little bit of the bark, obviously, but I think some of that bark in competition is not necessarily something the judges look for. So it's a trade-off that I'm willing to make in the competition setting.
What about your seasoning?
Well, no, your seasoning, if you get it done right, you know, we're like I said, we're going straight over the coals, so our seasoning gets set. You know, we're essentially grilling the piece of meat for, you know, for 2.5 hours or
right,
whatever it is. So that seasoning gets set, and we're looking for that sizzle. We always look, and I don't know if you've ever cooked a piece of meat, and you kind of see that yellow fat that kind of starts seeping out of it. You know,
oh,
it's
yeah,
really especially big in pork. And that's what we're looking for before we wrap. We want to have that yellow fat kind of start weeping out. We want that rub to be set up. We want it to start, when that moisture starts coming out of the meat, that's when we know it's time to wrap.
Did you make your own rubs, or did you use something that's kind of off the shelf, you know, that's available out there?
Well, I've got, you know, Blues Hog Barbecue, which if everybody, you know, that is synonymous with competition.
It's sure,
won more competitions than anything. The guy that owns that company is one of my best friends. So I have been, you know, using his products, and, you know, I've helped him. He's got a tremendous palate. He's come out with new products. Of course, Bill Arnold started the company, and Bill Arnold came out with the original sauces and the original rub. But Tim Shear is the guy's name that has bought the company, and he's got a tremendous palate. And I've helped him experiment on some of the stuff that he comes up with in competitions. But I'm not looking to reinvent the wheel. I know how to make a rub. I know how to make a sauce. I don't need to. What I'm looking for is consistency in my product, and something that scores. So I've been using Blues Hog Barbecue products for, you know, ever since I started cooking competitions. If you're in competitions, that's the best thing you can buy, is go out there and get on their website, buy some Blues Hog, and go out there and win.
There you go. We're talking with Brad Leninger from Getting Basted, and we're going to be back with Brad in just a couple minutes here on Barbecue Nation. Don't go away. Hey, everybody, it's JT, and this is a special version of Barbecue Nation. It is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. Beef you can be proud to serve your family and friends. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef. Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, and this is part of the Envision Radio Networks. Before we get back talking to Brad here from Getting Basted, I want to thank our friends at Painted Hills Natural Beef. Beef, just like Grandpa used to raise, if your grandpa actually raised beef, and mine did. But it's good stuff. Check out Painted Hills Natural Beef at your grocery store. It's available at some of the higher-end, nicer stores around the West Coast, and actually it's all across the country now. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef. Also, you can check us out on SoundCloud with Barbecue Nation JT on there, and if you'd like to email us, it's bbq@salempdx.com. That's bbq@salempdx.com. So, in talking to the champ, the reserve champ. Now, don't get all fussy because you just got second here, but I think it's a great feat. When you've got that depth of competition, Brad, it's tough, and a reserve world champion is a pretty good deal, really.
Sure, I mean, you know, it's, you know, we call the Royal a crapshoot, and it's that, you know, you've got a, you know, everybody, like I said earlier, that's won a championship is there competing, and out of those teams, there's probably 50 or 60 guys at least that turn in food that's capable of winning. So it comes down to what tables do you land on, you know, and you got to hit the right tables. You got to get a little bit lucky. First of all, you got to cook the food perfectly, but then you got to get lucky. But anybody that's up there in that top 5 or 10, you know, had food that was capable of winning if they just landed on the right sequence of tables. And we know that. We know that going into it. And that's what makes it so tough to win, is because the caliber of cooks that are there is so high. And it does take that extra little bit of luck to get it over the top.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So in your ribs, we didn't talk about your ribs very much. How do you trim them? What do you process them? Where do you get them? You know, do you have a particular brand or style, or are they custom done for you? Or tell me about that.
I've been a Smithfield guy for the last 5 years. You know, we've been cooking Smithfield products, both the extra tenderloin, which is an enhanced with salt and phosphate solution, and they're all natural line. And, you know, the main thing with ribs is what a consumer looks for in ribs and pork, and what a barbecue competition guy looks for ribs and porks are two different things. You know, they went through that marketing campaign of the other white meat where they wanted lean pork, you know, and you wanted lean ribs. And I think a lot of consumers look for that. They don't want the fat. Well, barbecue guys, we want the marbling, right? We're looking for the fat in there.
Oh, sure.
So the main thing, no matter what brand of pork or ribs you use, you've got to go dig through the case and you've got to do your legwork. So I'll hit several stores when I'm looking for pork in ribs, and I'll sit there and look and find the most marbled rack I can. That's the first thing I'm looking for. The second thing I'm looking for is a nice even thickness, and you don't want to have any shiners, or you don't want to have too thin of a rack that they can't get a good bite. And then finally, you know, if you can find one that has stray bones, you'll take that as well. But that's certainly my third criteria, and most pigs aren't considerate enough to have stray bones.
So
you kind of got to cut around them. But yeah, marbling is king in all our meats. That's what we're looking for. And it takes some time and it takes some effort to go find it. I mean, I'll go hit 5 or 6 stores a week just to find what I need to do to cook.
What do you do if you can't find it that week?
I keep looking.
Honestly,
and when I find it, I'll you know, I prefer fresh stuff, you know. But
yeah,
let's say I have a good week and I'm looking, you know, and my wife loves it. You know, when we're driving somewhere, we're going on vacation, we're taking a family down to Florida or whatever it is. You know, I'm hitting grocery stores. We're in there looking. I'm in the rib section, you know. I'm looking at meat and grabbing it, and I'm throwing it in the freezer because I'd rather have something frozen that I know is good and can pull me out than to sit there and cook something that I'm not confident in. So my first deal is find something fresh, find it, you know, the week that I'm going to use it. But if I find extra, I'll throw it in the freezer. That way, the week that I don't find something, I can pull it out and use it.
Okay, and the last one about chicken. some of the guys have told me in the last couple of years that they use smart chickens. I've never known a smart chicken. So,
yeah.
You know, hence the jokes, why the chicken crossed the road. All that. So what do you look for in your birds?
You know, I'm using, and the reason why people use Smart Chicken, or I use Springer Mountain Farms, you know, what you want is, you know, the chicken obviously doesn't know what brand it is when it's killed, but what does happen is how they finish them and how much fat is on that skin. I don't scrape we'll take the fat off the skin. I like to leave the fat where the chicken is. You know, I'll take a little bit off the edges just so that skin, you know, kind of sets and seals a little bit better. But I want to leave that fat on there for protective barrier. But the key thing is you can't have big, huge pockets of fat. So some brands tend to be a little fattier. So when you're finding one, you want to find one that has got fat on the skin, but is not big globs of fat, if that makes any sense.
Sure.
So that's my main criteria. I'll cook, you know, heck, I went and bought Hy-Vee brand this past weekend and cooked and got a Holland chicken. You know, it doesn't matter as long as you're treating it right. You're finding just a good, you know, decent sized, you know, I like to start with about 8 ounce pieces. Sometimes that's a little bit difficult to find, and I'll trim those down to about 5 ounce pieces to, you know, to be able to cook for the judges. But, you know, chicken's really the easiest to find, right? And again, you just got to buy enough to go through and find ones that are the right size that aren't, you know, sometimes they're bruised up a little bit. You don't want to cook those, but the chicken is pretty much chicken.
Are you using thighs?
I use thighs. Yeah. I mean, I've cooked legs before in competitions. It seems like in the Southeast, sometimes they'll score a little bit down there. And of course, doing like King of the Smoker style events, you know, out there in California, where they just give you two whole chickens and let you go. And then of course, a jack, you have to turn in white meat. So I've turned in other cuts, but week in, week out, I'm doing thighs. That's the safest play. If you ask a chef what cut of chicken he wants to cook for himself, it's going to be a thigh. And so that's what I'm playing with. They're more forgiving. They have more fat. They have more connective tissue, and they have more flavor.
So we got a couple minutes before we go to break, Brad. What's the most fun you've ever had at one of these competitions?
Oh, man, I have.
I know there are a lot of work, but you also have a good time.
Yeah, that's why I do it. You know, I mean, if it wasn't fun, I probably would quit doing it. I mean, my favorite ones, you know, are usually the summer where the family's there and you've got all your friends there. You know, you got Tim. Tim's got a family that's got kids about the same age. Then I also like the ones we travel to. You know, we did one in Australia earlier this year that was really a whole lot of fun. You know, going out to King of the Smoker to, you know, Sterling Balls events are always a lot of fun. And, of course, the American Royal, it's hard to beat the fun at that one. That's just a huge family reunion. I mean, everybody gets together, you know, some people that you haven't seen for a year and we just get to show up there on Wednesday and we party in the parking lot for 4 days. And yeah, we turn a little barbecue in, but really it's just a big family reunion. So yeah, this barbecue's got to be fun. If it's not fun, you're not doing it right.
You're not that far away from Kansas City. So is it a slow drive home on Sunday?
Well, yeah, I mean, you're worn out, you know. I'm about 3 hours away, but, you know, usually get home about midnight from that event by the time you get the awards and you get everybody out and unloaded and get moving on the road south. We get home about midnight, so, you know, you're just trying to stay awake more than anything else, you know, getting some truck stop coffee and putting some miles behind you.
When you get ready to go, and this is one thing I haven't asked you yet about your process, not the process of the meat, but the process of getting ready. What, just kind of give us a 2-minute overview here of what your week is like before you head out Thursday or Friday, whenever you leave, to go to a competition.
Oh, you know, I mean, I'm doing something pretty much every day. The main bulk of my time is spent finding meat. You know, people think that, you know, oh, I'm just going to grab a piece of meat and go. I mean, no, you got to go out there and you got to be picky about what you cook. And I think that separates a lot of the top pit masters from some of the other guys. So I'm literally hitting grocery store after grocery store after grocery store, you know, trying to find pieces of meat to cook, you know, and I'm trimming everything before I go to the contest. So I'm usually doing that on Wednesday. I'm trimming everything. I'm making all my injections. I'm mixing my sauces. I'm doing everything, getting everything ready. Load the trailer up on Thursday, and I'll roll out Thursday night or first thing Friday morning. So, you know, that's always the joke that you make. You know, you can't lose a barbecue you can't win a barbecue contest on Wednesday, but you can sure lose one, you know.
Yeah.
And preparation's a huge part of it. When I get there, I want to be fresh. I want to be ready. And I don't want to be sitting there having to trim chicken in 100-degree weather find out that my brisket isn't all I want it to be. You know, I want to have everything ready. I want to know the meat I'm going to be cooking, and I want to be prepared to go win a contest.
So what does your wife think of all this?
Oh, you know, she likes to compete too. They actually, my wife and my daughter, my 11-year-old, just fielded a team last weekend, not this past one, the one before, and actually cooked the contest for the first time. So they enjoy it. It's been good to my family. And she certainly, she doesn't necessarily enjoy the messes I make because of barbecue, but they have a good time, helping out and being a part of getting basted. So no, she's and doing as many contests as I do for as long as I've done them. You've got to have support from your family. Otherwise it just can't happen. And I'm blessed that way.
It's a long road if you're out there by yourself. I can tell you that. I know that from personal experience.
Yeah, 100%.
It's a tough deal. We're talking with Brad Leninger from Getting Basted, Reserve World Champ in the Invitational at the Royal, and we're going to take a break here on Barbecue Nation all the way down the line on our network, and we'll be back in just a few minutes with more. Hey, everybody, it's JT, and this is a special version of Barbecue Nation. It is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. Beef you can be proud to serve your family and friends. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef. Hey, welcome back to the Nation. That's the Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, and we're talking with Brad Leninger from Getting Basted, Reserve in the World at the Invitational in the overall. And a lot of stiff competition. You know, I was reading down the numbers in a lot of the categories there. And Tuffy, who's won before, he didn't get a call back. And Myron Mixon didn't get a call back. And you know, there's just point being in saying that. Is it can go any way, either way, any day, is the way I look at that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's why we, you know, if it was preordained, it wouldn't be very much fun now, would it? You know, I mean, and obviously, you know, Tuffy's as good of a competitor as there is, and he's won everything under the sun, including Memphis in May this year. So just being able to compete against Tuffy is a whole lot of fun. Myron's my neighbor there at the Royal. I don't think he cooked in the Invitational this year, but, you know, he's, you know, him and his group are a whole lot of fun always. And they're the ones that are really, you know, all of us competition guys probably owe more to Myron Mixon than we can ever quantify, just because of the popularity he's brought to what we do and the visual, you know, how much visual aspect he's brought from sponsors and, you know, just the money he's brought into the sport. I mean, Myron's probably done more to change barbecue than anybody. So no, that's what makes the Royal so special is you get to go out and you get to compete, you know, and everything's blind. They don't know that they're eating Tuffy's food, or they don't know that they're eating your food. So everybody that turns in a box, you know, has the same chance of winning if they can turn in the right piece of meat to the right judge. And that's what makes barbecue so great. You know, we can go compete against our legends. You know, you know, I can't go play football against Patrick Mahomes. You know, I can't do that, but I can go cook barbecue against Tuffy Stone. So, you know, it really is what sets barbecue and makes it unique.
Yeah. It's like me playing golf with Tiger Woods, unless he might need a good laugh that day. So, you know, that would be fun for him. But as far as any competitive aspect, not, you know, that's
exactly.
Yeah. That's not going to work. Anything you want to do that you haven't done, Brad, in barbecue competitions you haven't been to, or I know you always want to win, you know, the world titles and everything.
Yeah. I like to get first place in the Royal instead of second. Nah, you know, in barbecue, I've done about everything I can do in barbecue, and obviously I have a few bucket list wins I'd like to get under my belt. You know, the Jack Daniels is coming up. I'd love to get that one. I'd love to, but I can't control that, right? So I can't lose sleep at night. I all I can do is go cook those events, turn in the best food that I can do. And if I do that, I'm content. And I've done that for the most part, you know, and I've had success at them. You know, whether or not the win comes, you know, or doesn't come, it's completely out of my control. So I'm not going to lose a lot of sleep. So as far as anything that I can personally control, we've been doing a lot of classes overseas. You know, we've got some coming up in Italy. We've got one coming up in the Netherlands this year. We've been in Australia. You know, I want to continue to travel and to meet people and to teach barbecue and you know, hot and fast style barbecue to people around the world. And that's been something that I've really been enjoying in about the last 2 years and that I want to continue to do. So right now, you know, my goals are on that. And then my goals are on getting my restaurants up and running and going. So those are the two things that I can control that I have yet to accomplish in barbecue.
That was, you know, that sounds like a great deal, especially going to Italy and stuff. That's anytime you get to go overseas and do stuff you love, that is a real bonus, I think. I mean, I really do.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
Yeah, it's good. Do you take your wife and kids when you go?
I haven't had a chance yet, just because of the time of the year that we go. But certainly given the opportunity, I will bring them with me. But no, we've been going and kind of in the winter, kind of our off season is kind of when I do a lot of my traveling overseas. So, she's teaching school and kids are in school. So unfortunately they don't get to go very often.
Well, she's going to remind you one of these days, my friend, about she's got time off coming.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure I've got some reminders coming.
Oh, I would bet on it. If people want to find out about your competition and your restaurants, we're going to keep you around for the after hours segment of the show. But how can they find you? How can they send you if they've got a question or anything?
Well, I mean, the easiest way is either get on gettingbasted.com or check us out at facebook.com/gettingbasted. Our Facebook page is probably more active and more question and answer type set up than the actual webpage, but either one of them will get you there. You can always email me at brad@gettingbasted.com. And of course that's without a G. That's the biggest mistake, gettingbasted.com. Any of those avenues, we're on Instagram, we're on Twitter at Getting Basted. And we love to talk barbecue. So if you got any questions, you want to get into it or whatever. I mean, that's one of the things that we do is we teach and evangelize about barbecue. So I love nothing more than getting questions.
Cool. Now you got about 10 seconds here. How did you come up with the name?
It goes back to my wife. We were all sitting around and we were all throwing out. We're pretty witty people. And as soon as she said it, she said, "How about getting basted?" So she said it. It's like, boom, that's it. She came up with that one.
We thank Brad Leninger from Getting Basted back in Missouri for being with us today. Remember, turn it, don't burn it.
Barbecue Nation is produced by JTSD LLC Productions in association with Envision Networks and Salem Media Group. All rights reserved. Copyright 2019.